Dog Works Radio Network presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Mushing Radio here on the Dog Works Radio Network. We can also be heard over on KVRF 89.7 in the Matsu Valley. RadioFreePalmer.org is our live streaming site, and you can hear us on their app. Just search for Radio Free Palmer. Make sure you check us out over on Apple Podcast under Dog Works Radio, as well as that same name on all social media. And calling in from sunny California is our co-host, Alex Stein. Alex, how's it going?
It's going great, Robert. Very nice and warm here. But unlike you, I have not been productive and built fences. I've just been trying to stay out of the heat.
Hey, there you go. You know, we got to do our chores here when the weather is good, because it's tough to do them in the middle of winter.
Exactly. And I have to say, for those of you who have not seen the pictures over on Facebook and perhaps on Twitter, Robert and Michelle have built a fence around, I think, around the dog yard. Is that correct? Which I guess is
nope,
a project that's been going on for a while, but it's finally done, and
yeah,
it looks amazing.
It's just around our backyard. It's mainly to keep our dogs that we train here for service dogs and for basic obedience. So they had to have a way of staying in the house. I don't think anybody wants their dog to run away when they're at training.
Right. That would not be good at all.
Right. So before we get started, Alex, things have been happening, rocking and rolling in terms of off-season Iditarod stuff. Do you have any news that you want to mention before we jump into the signups for the next year's race?
Yeah, the one thing that I wanted to mention, which happened a little while ago, but we haven't had a chance to talk about it yet, is at the Reddington Junior and Senior High School, there is a new bronze statue of Joe Reddington Senior and his dog team. And I haven't actually been there, but I've seen a lot of the pictures of it. It looks completely amazing, and it was dedicated, I guess, just about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. There was a big ceremony. Stan Hooley from the Iditarod was there. A bunch of people spoke. Ray Reddington and Robert Reddington and Ramey and Barb Reddington were there for the unveiling. Vern Halter, who runs Dream a Dream Kennels. Iditarod finisher, long time important person in the Iditarod world, as well as being mayor of the, I'm not sure exactly what he's mayor of, some area in the Matsu Valley, was there and helped cut the cut the ribbon for it, and gave a check to the ITC for trail development and rehabilitation, with the goal to keep the restart in Willow as much as possible.
Right. Yeah. Vern Halter is the mayor of the Matsu Borough, and that's the sort of the one of the larger boroughs here in South Central Alaska. It's where I live and where our radio show is hosted from, but it's also the official restart of the Iditarod just up the road from us here in Willow, and that high school is also here in the valley, as well as the Iditarod headquarters in Wasilla, which is about a half hour, 35 minutes from here.
Right, but Wasilla has its own mayor. Is that correct?
Yeah, yep. Wasilla does have its own mayor. We have a borough mayor, which I guess is sort of like a county mayor, but there's only two cities here in the borough of almost 100,000 people and the size of West Virginia. So a little bit of a geography test there for you. Only two cities, Wasilla and Houston. And Houston is the city just to our south. I think it has about 2,000 residents. And then Wasilla is one of the larger communities there. And that is where the high school that you're mentioning is located there in Wasilla Kinnick area, which is the home of the Redingtons.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because the first time I went to Alaska, which was back in 1995, Wasilla was really a very, very tiny little blip on the road. And the extent to which it has grown and, you know, lots of stores and lots of retail and lots of people have moved in the past 20 years or so. And it's really become, I mean, obviously it's not as big as Anchorage, but it's really become a fairly big city, at least in Alaskan terms.
Yes, it is. It is quite large for all of the population here. That's where all of our, pretty much all of our grocery stores and shopping are. There is some of that in Palmer. Oh, I'm sorry. Palmer is a city as well. So there's three cities here in the borough. But yeah, that's where sort of the one-stop shop is for all of our comings and going right there in Wasilla. And of course, everybody knows Sarah Palin. That's where she hails from as well.
Right, right. And she was very famously mayor of Wasilla before she became governor. And yep.
Yes. We could talk about that, I'm sure, the entire show. But another piece of news I saw you post. I haven't seen anything else about it, but I haven't been that active on social media in the last few days. But I saw that you posted that Dee Dee Genro announced that this is going to be her last Iditarod. What do you know about that?
Yeah, so Dee Dee had posted on Facebook, which seems to be the preferred method for communicating these things lately, that the 2018 race is going to be her last. It's her 36th race. She is, I believe, 64 or 65 years old, and she has 16 top 10 finishes. She's come in twice. She's come in second two times, has never won the race, but has always been, for as long as I've been following Iditarod, has been just a complete fan favorite. Very, very colorful. Is known for wearing bright pink parkas, bright pink booties for her dogs. She is a cancer survivor and does a lot of work with cancer groups. Some of my favorite stories from Iditarod have been related to Dee Dee Genro. We talked a few years ago about how she had brought one of her dogs up to one of the villages, and there was a child who was autistic who had never really talked very much, who suddenly, when he was in the presence of this dog, opened up and started talking, and she then was very active in a group that was using dogs as a way to get through to autistic children. And, you know, a lot of times people say that they're not going to run the race anymore. Jeff King kind of famously retired 6 or 7 years ago, and then after a year he was back. I can't explain why, but this feels a little bit more definite than that. And so certainly Dee Dee has been an amazing competitor, someone who really, I think, personifies the best of Iditarod, was one of the founders of, I believe, Pride, which is the organization that mushers belong to that dictates best practices for dog treatment and kennels. So really, this is someone who has been just an amazing force in Iditarod, and if this is her last race, it certainly is. she's certainly ending an amazing, very inspiring career.
You know, Alex, we talk about it all the time here on the show, sort of about the changing of the guard from these old school mushers that have been around for decades. You had mentioned that Dee Dee has done, I believe you said 36 races. That is longer than probably most folks that are listening to this show are alive. And I think the last time I checked our demographics, our largest demographic is the 24 to 35 year old group. So that's amazing to me that she has been mushing that long. And there's a whole group of very, very accomplished mushers there, either been mushing longer than she has with Iditarod or right there on the tails of her. Is that right?
Yeah. And you know, we talk about this a lot, but one of the really inspiring things for me as a fan watching some of these I don't want to say older, but sort of old school mushers. And I'm thinking of people like Dee Dee and Martin Boozer and Jeff King, people like that. They really are just so interested in making sure that the sport continues, and are just people who are always taking time for younger mushers, for up and coming mushers, for people who just have come to Alaska and are interested in mushing. And you know, as we talked about before, you never really know who's going to spark to this and who is going to suddenly come out of nowhere and, you know, move up from Kansas and become a world-class musher. And for a lot of these people, they just have been, you know, pouring their heart and soul into this sport and into communicating and passing along their love of the sport to everyone.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to following Dee Dee along in the next year's race, and of course, wishing her the best that we can here, you know, at least publicly, and of course to all of the other mushers, which is what we're going to talk about today. Just this past weekend, the weekend before, so about a week and a half ago, was the official first day of signups at the Iditarod Picnic. We've talked a lot about that on this show, and as of today, the 5th of July, there is 55 mushers that have signed up. I'm sure you already have some picks in the pool, so to speak, on who you're looking to watch. But, man, I tell you what, 55 in just a week or so, that's an amazing number. What do you think?
Yeah, and, you know, we talked the past couple of years with the entry fee going up, how this might cause fewer people to enter. It doesn't seem to have had much of an effect at all. And I'm not sure what the exact number is, but it's approximately the same number within a couple of how many people signed up at the picnic last year. We've had a few more, I think, since the picnic who signed up, but 55 at this point, you know, at the beginning of July is really good. Is a sort of bodes for a very healthy field once again in 2018.
I agree. And you know, Alex, I'm going to ask you what your pick is here in just a little bit. So keep that in mind. As I mentioned a couple of guys that I am going to be watching, the first one is Matt Hall, who has done very well in the last few years with the Yukon Quest. He's one of those mushers that a lot of folks don't know much about. He mushes out of Eagle, Alaska, which is off the road system. And, you know, he may be a force to be reckoned with, but hot on his heels, I believe, is going to be Jesse Holmes. He mushes out of Nenana, Alaska, and he has sort of risen into fame in the last few years in some of the more prestigious mid-distance races like the Kobuk 440 and the Cusco 300, doing very well in those races as well as Yukon Quest 300. And for folks that don't know, he is the musher that is profiled currently on the Nat Geo reality type show Life Below Zero here in Alaska, and he sure is a colorful character. Have you got a chance to see any of that show on Nat Geo, Alex?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of it, and just a wonderful, wonderful personality.
And another one that I want to mention in terms of a rookie is Emily Maxwell, who runs with Nick Pettit's team. They're based out of Girdwood, but they spend their winters, or at least they have the last few years, up here in the Willow area. And I'm going to tell you right now who my pick is on July 5th. It's going to be the same as it was last year, Nick Pettit. He mentioned on Facebook, I guess it was late last week, he said he put his check in the mail or whatever, and he hopes to be out there and ready to win this year's race. And he sort of said in tongue-in-cheek, as long as with about 10 or 12 other very highly competitive contenders that are vying for that same comment.
Yeah, and, you know, Nick has been someone who has sort of been bubbling under the, you know, it's hard to get past the CVs the past 4 or 5 years, but he has been someone who has been right up there with them in every one of these races. And I would not put it past him to win. He's not my pick. Oddly, my pick for 2018, since I'm always wrong in these predictions, I've decided that I am not going to pick Ali Zirkle again. I've picked Ali Zirkle for the past 3 or 4 years. But my pick this year is Jessi Royer.
Jessi Royer. That's a great pick. She did very well last year, finished with a full 16-dog team coming into Nome, which is not an easy feat. That's only been done a few times in recent history. But, yeah, there's lots of really interesting contenders already on the list so far. I really like Yor Olsson. He's coming back. Let's see who Dallas is back on the list there. Ramey Smith is back. Kaiser is back. Mitch Seavey, of course, is back. And Rick Casillo is back. All of the big time mushers there. Ray Reddington Jr. is there. His brother Robert and brothers Robert and Ryan are there, as well as Christy and Anna Barrington are there. And one name that we haven't seen in the last few years, Mats Pettersson, who travels all the way from Sweden to race in the Iditarod. He is back as well. Do you have any other names you'd like to mention in this pool of 55 so far?
Yeah, you know, we've seen a couple of people who were injured and couldn't compete who are coming back. So Jim Lanier is going to be back this year. Mike Supernaut is competing again. And then, you know, we also are seeing some of the big names who have not been as competitive in the past couple of years, like Martin Boozer. Will be competing again. Jeff King, Rob Cook, who has his team of Siberians, is competing again this year, which is exciting. I'm also, you know, I grew up in New England, so I am excited to see Lev Schartz, who is back. I think it's been a few years since he's competed in Iditarod. He is very active in social media and very outspoken about what he thinks about various topics. So I'm looking forward to following him. He didn't compete last year, but he started in 2014 and scratched, and then completed the race in 2015. So it'll be fun to see him back. I have a question for you, and I know we've discussed this in the past, and I'm not sure we ever came up with a real good answer for it, but looking at the list, I'm struck by some of the people, I'm struck by the hometowns listed for some of these people. So, for example, your Olsom is still listed as being from Norway, but I believe he is living almost all of the year in Alaska at this point.
Right, and you know, that's an interesting story, but before I talk about that, I do have to make a correction now that you had mentioned that, because I'm sure I'll hear about it on social media. Matt Hall, who I'd mentioned was from Eagle, I believe he is born there and has family in Eagle, but currently racing out of Two Rivers, which is a very big mushing hotbed there in the Fairbanks area. But yeah, your Olsom is listed from Norway, but he does currently live here in Willow. And I know we've talked about this in the past. Yor is interesting because he is here on sort of like a student or an athlete type visa, meaning he cannot earn any money while he lives here from any of his you know, any of his work activities, whether it be construction or whatever, because he's listed as, I believe it's like an athlete. So he cannot earn a living here. So he has to keep his country of origin there in Norway. I would love to have all the particulars lined out, but I know we've talked about that in pretty big detail. I'd say maybe 2 years ago when he was racing at Iditarod still.
Right. Right. You know, it's very interesting because at times we have people who are from the lower 48, but who have pretty much relocated to Alaska. Sometimes they seem to be listed in their state of origin, and sometimes they seem to be listed where they're living in Alaska. So I've never entirely been clear on who makes that determination and whether it's the musher himself, him or herself, or if it's something that Iditarod decides.
Well, my only experience with this, Alex, is when my daughter Nicole ran Junior Iditarod, which is pretty much the exact same process as the big boys race, and it was all on the application. Whatever she put on the application in terms of address and that sort of thing, as well as her bio, whatever she said on that bio is what they put on the website, and of course on the mushers list, as well as the sponsors. All that was coordinated on the application, and of course turned in there at the Iditarod headquarters when she signed up for the race.
You know, just looking through the list, which is online at iditarod.com, out of the 55 people signed up so far, we've got 12 rookies, and that seems to me that it is in line with, you know, the ratio that we usually see. There's a few people that we know who have been competing in the past couple of years who are not competing this year, or at least not yet. I know Karin Hendrickson announced on Facebook that she was going to not run Iditarod this year and was going to do some other things this winter. Our friend Cindy Abbott, who moved up to Willow from Southern California and has been training with Dream a Dream Kennels, announced that she is not running, or at least has not registered yet. I know that she finds the call of Iditarod very hard to resist, so it wouldn't surprise me that much if between now and the end of the year she changed her mind and did sign up. But as of right now, she's not registered.
Right. And I believe the deadline without penalty, and it's a pretty substantial penalty. I don't know exactly what it is this year, but I believe it's maybe even $1,000 or so in terms of a late fee penalty, is December 1st. So you usually see kind of a sputtering of applications come in through the rest of the summer and into the fall. And then you'll see it pick up quite a bit there right around Thanksgiving. You'll see several people signing up for the race right there before the deadline. And of course, to a lot of folks, it's dependent on many factors. And Of course, I'm sure a major one of those is financial. We've talked a lot about it in the past, where a lot of these guys work in the off season at their jobs, whether it be construction or fishing or whatever. So they have to, you know, save up over the summer for that pretty substantial entry fee. And of course, a lot of it depends on the dogs and the training and how that's working out. Even though to most of these big time Iditarod mushers, it is a year long process now. Those folks, especially those folks that that work in the off season, they aren't sure what the dogs are going to be able to do until they get, you know, some miles on them in that fall training and make sure all the kinks get worked out and to see what they have working with before they sign up with Iditarod. So I think we're going to see quite a few names come up in the next 3 or 4 months or so. And of course, in the last few years, it's been, what, at least in the 70s, 80s, and into the 90s in terms of the number of entries that sign up for the race before that deadline in December. Is that right?
Yeah, and, you know, to, like I said, to have 55 at this point is feels like it is right on track with having a field that would be at least 75 or maybe 80 teams.
Right.
Which is a good amount.
Alex, right. We have about 3 minutes, and I wanted to mention something that we talked briefly about a few shows ago, and I don't recall exactly what was decided or what was posted. Is this the year where it starts, where they're going to run the southern route for the next couple of years? Is that what I'm remembering?
Yes, I believe that's the case, yeah.
We'll definitely double-check that.
Yeah, to make up for the start being moved to Fairbanks in 2017 and 2015.
Right, and of course, you know, Mother Nature always you know, throws her hand in the mix, and of course, that could change as late as February, where they may have to change the race course again. I know in the last couple of years, they've really waited things out before they announced whether they were going to have a start here in the Matsu Valley, or they're going to do it in Fairbanks, or they're going to have the ceremonial start and all of that sort of stuff. Mother Nature is not very forgiving, is she?
No, especially when it comes to winter in Alaska. You know, there's this old saying that no matter how prepared you are, Alaska always wins. So, you know, that's something that always comes into play.
Right. All right, Alex, anything else before we close?
You know, I just wanted to mention we have some other names that are coming back. Zoya Deneur is going to be running this year. Scott Jansen, the mushing mortician, who wasn't able to run last year, will be back. So a lot of really colorful characters coming back, and you know, we'll be looking into all of the rookies who are racing this year for the first time in Iditarod as well.
You know, I'm looking for a couple of ladies, and I hope they sign up: Monica Zappa and Lisbeth North. Neither one of those guys, gals, have signed up yet. Those are always really interesting stories to follow, and I hope they sign up for this year's race as well.
Yeah, those are two of my favorite mushers to follow. They are always very interesting. They always have a lot of cool things to say, and are just fun personalities. So you know, always good to have more fun personalities in the mix.
Excellent. All right, Alex, we are out of time here. We will talk to you guys next time here on Mushing Radio. Make sure you check us out there on Apple Podcasts. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review. But until next time, and on behalf of my co-host, Alex Stein, this is Robert Forto for Mushing Radio. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.